you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, I love what it says in Psalm 68:19. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Yeah, Psalm 68:19. Friend, that's why the Word of God tells us to cast our cares upon Him, because He cares. And according to Psalm 68:19, He daily bears our burdens for us. Praise the Lord. I love that. Friend, how you doing? Happy Thursday. Great way to begin the program right there, an encouraging verse from the Word of God. Friend, I pray you're doing well today. Yes, here we are. It's the 10th day of July 2014. How's the summer coming along for you? My wife and I just realized that the kids are going to be going back to school here in the next, what, five, maybe 6 weeks. So, in fact, we actually enjoy it because the kids have been just going around the house and there's nothing to do, and they've been eating a whole bunch of food during the day. So we're looking forward to when they go back to school. Amen. Hey, coming up next Thursday night, the 17th from 6:30 to 8, you're invited to be part of a very special night. It's called Understanding Israel. It's going to be at the Community E-Free Church of Mahomet, Route 47 and Riverbend Boulevard, and it's open to anyone who's interested in possibly going to take that trip to the Holy Land later on this year in November. Special 10-day trip. Mark will have some special materials on the event. Singer-songwriter Mark Maxey will be there to provide some wonderful worship, and he'll be on the trip to the Holy Land as well. So, Understanding Israel Night, special evening, Community E-Free Church of Mahomet, next Thursday night, 6:30 to 8, Route 47 and Riverbend Boulevard, of course, in Mahomet. I hope you can be part of that. This is just a great way to understand a little bit more of the nation of Israel, Understanding Israel. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that special trip to the Holy Land, which, by the way, is coming up in November, November 6th through the 15th. And there's an early bird registration deadline by the end of this month. You might want to take advantage of that. But prayerfully consider, though, friend, prayerfully consider about attending the special Great News Radio Israel trip. Again, November 6th through the 15th. Early bird pricing deadline, the end of this month. If you want more information, if you are unable to attend next Thursday, but you want a packet of information, we'll be more than happy to send it to you. Just give us a call and request it today at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777, or you can just take a look at some literature that we have up on our website, greatnewsradio.org, and click on Israel Trip. Well, coming up for our focus or our devotional today, we're going to be talking about food. Anybody like food? Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. We're actually going to be talking about the bread of life. We're going to be talking about how Jesus referred to himself as the bread of life. And he said it just like anything else. He said it with a reason and with a purpose. And it reflected back to the Old Testament. It's going to be a great study today on Jesus being the bread of life. That's coming up right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio.
He hears me when song. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. And he knows my name, and he knows
what our choice of food is probably one of the most debated topics in our culture today, because everywhere we turn, we hear about the dangers of eating this food and eating that food. We're told that there are unhealthy ingredients pretty much in every meal. It's probably true, but man, I love it. It tastes good though, right? Amen. So we need food to survive, but God also gave us taste buds too. I mean, food is not just for fuel. It's also for enjoyment and delight, right? I mean, it's no wonder that the biblical writers used food as a metaphor to explain and illustrate various truths in the Word of God. I'm so grateful that God comes down to our level and speaks to us in a way that we would understand, like Jesus taught in parables. So one of the places we see the scriptures use the concept of food to illustrate true things about God is in the book of John. And using the example of God's provision of manna for the Israelites in the wilderness, remember reading that in the Old Testament? Well, Jesus claimed to be the bread from heaven who gives life to the world. So after feeding thousands of people in the wilderness, Jesus urged the people to look for the bread that comes from heaven, not the bread from earth that spoils. John chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. I'll read this to you here. If you have your Bible, follow along. That'd be great. John chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we see it, that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, very truly I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Well, I'll tell you what, as we read these passages in John chapter 6, it points us to two different events. The first one just took place. Jesus told the crowds that the only reason they were following him was because of their appetites. He had miraculously fed the entire crowd with little bread and fish. Now, Jesus made it clear that they were not following him because of who he was, but because of what he had done for them. And the second event that he referred to in this passage takes place in the Old Testament. After being delivered from slavery in Egypt, God's people wandered off into the wilderness without anything. God provided for them by sending them a special food from heaven. He gave them what they needed, no more and no less. When this mysterious food kind of showed up in the morning, they had no idea what it was, so they named it manna. Remember reading that in the Old Testament? Manna, which means what is it? And manna was this honey-like wafer, sort of like, I guess maybe the closest thing that I can think of right now is a rice cake today. So, just like the Jews in Jesus' day were not satisfied with one round of manna, neither were the ancient Israelites satisfied with their daily provision of manna. Watch this now. They started grumbling against God because they were hungry. Now, as we go back and study that, we can read that story and we're tempted to judge them, right? So God had just delivered them from slavery from Pharaoh. He parted the Red Sea for them. He was leading them into the promised land. God gave them manna to sustain them. Get this now. God gave them manna to sustain them, not satisfy them. Did you hear that? Hello? God gave them manna to sustain them, not satisfy them. Why would God do that? Why wouldn't he just go ahead and give them and let them be satisfied now? To answer the question, we need to consider where God was taking his people when he led them out of Egypt. He didn't just deliver them from slavery. He was wanting to take them to a better place. The Old Testament describes the promised land vividly. It was a land flowing, come on now, with milk and honey. So manna was a honey-like wafer that came down from heaven in limited supply, providing only what was needed to get them through the day so the people would long for a land flowing with milk and honey. So the manna was never meant to fully satisfy the people of God while they were in the wilderness, because the wilderness was not their home. Did you get that today? The honey-infused manna was merely an appetizer, friend, whetting their appetite for the day when God would bring them to the land he promised their forefathers. And unfortunately, the people try to find satisfaction in the appetizer. You know, we go down to southern Illinois maybe a couple of times a year with our family. My wife's got friends and relatives down there. So we visit maybe a few times a year, and we stay at this hotel in Mount Vernon, Illinois. And it's really neat. We love it there. There's a pool in the hotel, so the kids love it so much. So we were visiting grandma one weekend, so we stayed at a hotel first. So we decided to go swimming in the morning, and then after swimming, we would go visit their grandma. Okay, so we were swimming. And then it was time to go, so we told the kids, Tim, Hannah, let's go. We got to go see Grandma. And they said, no, we don't want to go. We want to swim. So Aubrey and I reminded them, we didn't come down here to swim. We came down here to visit Grandma. And sometimes us Christians today, we get so caught up in the stuff of the world and forget about why we're here. We want to go swimming, but the purpose of us visiting was not to go swimming, it was to go see Grandma. And many of us Christians today, including myself, try to find satisfaction in the appetizer. And God's like, this world is not your home. So the honey-infused manna was merely an appetizer, whetting their appetite for the day when God would bring them to the land he promised their forefathers. These people, the Israelites, tried to find satisfaction in the appetizer. And likewise, Jesus' miraculous feeding of the crowd was meant to point people to their need for the bread of heaven, not the bread that spoils, but the bread that lasts forever and gives life to the world. But the people indicated that they were more interested in the food that spoils. And too often, friend, you and I make the same mistake of looking to the appetizer for the satisfaction instead of looking to God to sustain us forever. We look for satisfaction in God's gifts and fail to see that his gifts should point us to him and his promises. I mean, God has given us some wonderful gifts. I mean, I can list off an entire list. I don't think that there's even enough time in this program to list all the incredible gifts that God has given us. But we shouldn't find true satisfaction in the gifts. In fact, the gifts should point us to God and his promises. Just like Abraham and Isaac, God told Abraham, sacrifice your son, your one and only son. It was a test, the Bible says. So was Abraham going to hold on to the blessing, or was he going to hold on to the blesser? So we should find satisfaction in him alone, not in the appetizers that he gives us in this life, friend. All of the good things in life are pointing us, friend, to the day. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. All of the good things, all of the gifts in life that he gives us are should point us to the day where every knee will bow, come on now, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The bread from heaven is what gives life to the world. What we ought to learn from the Israelites and from the Jews in Jesus' day is that if we try to find our full satisfaction in the things that are only designed to sustain us through this life, well, friend, then we will miss out on the means by which we will truly be satisfied. And Jesus said, the work of God is to believe in the one he has sent. Our toil and effort should not be spent in seeking to satisfy our heart with lesser things. I'm talking to somebody today. Friend, our work should be directed towards belief in the one who satisfies forever.
Still our refuge. eyes forsaking. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou will find soul is there. Thou will find soul is there. Thou will find soul is
Jaden Lavick reminding us what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Friend, thank you so much for letting me tag along with you. And thank you so much for your prayerful and your financial support of this radio ministry. It is because of your prayers and your financial support that allows us to do what we did today, tomorrow, and Lord willing, years to come. So would you consider being part of the giving family today? You can send in your gift of support and words of encouragement to Great News Radio, Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Again, that's Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. And friend, thank you so much for your prayerful and your financial support of Great News Radio. Hey, coming up tomorrow, it's going to be the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Mark and Jason in the studio tomorrow, hanging out with you for your Friday. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.